This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
I'm officially over Peyton Watson. Time to move on. If this story checks out, we'll get to that. The Rockies win last night. Sugano is awesome. That is a definite fan favorite. Kyle Karros has a scary moment in that game last night, but also a really good moment in that game. Greg Penner spoke to a lot of media members yesterday. Let's talk about PLS today. Sean Keeler will join us from the Denver Post. WNBA, the most unserious league ever. 6 minutes after the hour, Mike. It's time. It's go time. The whole show starts right now. Side of the glass, running the production side of things, Michael Kirkpatrick. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Before we get rolling today, tell you about the beverage of the week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor. New Club Tales cocktails in a can. Available in seven different flavors like Blue Hawaiian, Bahama Mama, it's probably your favorite, Mike, and Pink Lemonade. You're sure to find your new go-to at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue.
Did you say Bahama Mama?
Can I finish the read first? Yes, Bahama Mama.
I do like that song by Boney M.
That's why I thought that. I don't know what that is. 7 minutes after the hour, I'm going to get to this Peyton Watson story. Peyton Watson, according to Anthony Slater, who is with... He covers the Warriors primarily, but also the NBA at large for ESPN. So there's, he's got a legitimate following and such. According to him, during the first round series against Minnesota for the Nuggets were constantly checking in on Peyton Watson in hopes that he could play. But he never did, with part of the belief being that his looming restricted free agency played a factor in sitting out. I was visiting with the dude down the hall about this, too. You know, another fellow Nuggets fan, fellow basketball fan. And I do put a lot of blame on the agents, on the agency. Who's he with? Clutch. And obviously, if you're an agent, that's your, let's just say what it is. I mean, the players are your, kind of just like a professional league, the players are your product. You're out selling them. You're trying to get the best contracts for them because you get the best contracts in return. So the agency is saying, man, you don't want to push it. You don't want to re-aggravate that hamstring in a series with the Nuggets when they're probably... I'm just speaking as an agent right now. Let's pretend I'm Peyton Watson's agent. You're not going to be with the Nuggets long term. And if you are, what if you get hurt, re-aggravate that injury... Or that injury keeps you from playing at a high level, does that seriously impact what you're worth? And I think agency coming in, shooting way over his value, saying, yeah, you're in the mid-20s easy, maybe even 30s. If you go out and play on this hamstring, which maybe most players in this position are cleared to play. I mean, Aaron Gordon tried. If you go out and play on this and A... re-aggravate it, make it worse, that's going to hurt your stock. Or B, it keeps you from playing at the level you were playing at in December. That's also going to hurt your stock. So let's just kind of give this a little more time. So according to Slater, Denver keeps checking in. Like, hey, are you... Because you remember how weird it was? He goes out in the season, and it's a lot of, okay, he should be good to go maybe in 3 weeks. And then it was... 3 weeks goes by, and then it's nothing, and then another 2 weeks go by, and it's still nothing. Just no reports on it. And I didn't want to be that guy. I think we toyed with the idea that maybe Peyton Watson is sitting out because he's in a, not necessarily a contract year, but getting ready to be. Well, kind of, yeah, because he's a restricted free agent. That pushing the injury at this point might not be the best, especially if he and his agency didn't feel like Denver was going to do anything. Even if they got past Minnesota, could they really go deep in the playoffs with a hobbled Aaron Gordon, for one? And I've said this before, like, I get the frustration from Peyton Watson's camp on saying, hey, we will match any offer up to $30 million a year. So if you go sign him for 30, we're going to match that and he'll be our guy. But you're going to have to risk that. You're going to have to risk that we actually will match it. And that's a big risk. But also, we're going to offer you 14. I can see why the camp's like, wait a second, we're worth $30 million if someone else thinks we're worth $30 million. But if nobody offers us $30 million, you're going to offer us half that? You can see why that would bother you. But according to the Slater story, that the belief is that his looming free agent, his looming restricted free agency played a factor in sitting out. I'm over it, man. I got somebody, a guy that I do trust, tells me he's got some people in the know, around the Nuggets building. Okay, that's as far as I'll go. That personally, Peyton Watson was upset that they gave Christian Brown the contract to start the season and not him. I don't know if that's true. It seems like it could be true. Watson obviously feels like he has a high ceiling. And then he looks at it and says, wow, you're giving the contract to Christian Brown. Well, if memory serves, it was Christian Brown his rookie season that was a big fan or a big part of winning a championship, whereas Peyton Watson didn't play. He wasn't really a part of that, save for practice and everything and being just a backup to the backup on the bench. And then Brown was good his second year, and then as good as third, and then obviously this last year was, he'd never been injured like that before. So I actually do believe that Brown is going to have a bounce back season. I don't think he was atrocious, but he definitely got hurt, and it was difficult for him to mentally get through that, not knowing how to move your body the way you used to. You know, Joker was in the same boat. Joker got hurt. He doesn't get hurt like that. He missed almost a month of basketball. But when Joker came out, he plays differently. He's not, like, relying on the same thing, the same tools that Christian Brown relies on. A lot of side-to-side movement, being isolated on an island with another guard, playing defense, whatnot, sprinting down the floor, being an excellent breakaway guy, excellent finisher at the rim. That's not Joker. So when Joker was making his rehabilitation back onto the floor, it wasn't as obvious. Yeah, the injury probably hurt him, but I'm of the belief that Christian Brown will have a rebound type of year. This report, and every day since, I don't know, the last month, it just seems like things are getting more negative around Peyton Watson and his camp with the Nuggets. So I'm now saying it. Do what you can to sign and trade him. Do what you can. Obviously they can't sign and trade right now because they're in the second apron. So they would have to clear some space. They would have to clear Zeke Nnaji from their books, at least Zeke Nnaji. A guy for like two, I think they're $2 million in to the second apron, so even less than that. So I've been fighting on this, you know, because the Nuggets said this was a priority, and it does seem like it's been a pretty sleepy offseason for Denver. Now that all could change in 2 months, 3 months, when we're going, wow, Spencer Jones is becoming a bigger name. Marvin Bagley is finding his real game with the Nuggets. Trevon Brazil is a standout rookie. So, I mean, we could all be wrong about that. But right now, it seems like it's a sleepy offseason, and the idea of getting Peyton Watson back on your roster, making sure he's on your roster, would have felt like a small win. Because Denver did say as much. They said, that's a priority of ours. Well, as new information comes to light, I hear this, and if the Nuggets knew that Watson wasn't playing hurt, not injured, hurt. If they knew that, then why would you want this guy on your team? If the Nuggets really knew that, again, according to Anthony Slater, who does stuff with ESPN, the Nuggets believe Peyton Watson's upcoming free agency was part of the reason he did not play in the first round of the playoffs. They kept calling him day to day, thinking he would play in the series. If you truly believed that and still believe that, then do you want that guy on your team? Now, if that's Joker caliber player, then yeah, you just kind of say, that sucks that you treated us that way, but we still want you because you're really good. Watson is still very much a question mark. We've seen one great month of basketball from him. Before that was pretty good player growing. Not sure how high that ceiling's going to be. Then when everybody got hurt and it was Peyton Watson's time to shine, he did. And then he gets hurt. But is that the kind of guy at his level of skill set today worth you knowing that he maybe didn't play because of the injury and holding him, the hurtness? I don't want to say injury. So it kind of sounds like he could have played. And that he was reserving himself so that he wouldn't re-injure himself or struggle with the banged up hamstring. I'm done. I'm ready. Just move on. I'm tired of the Peyton Watson stuff. Dempsey told us this 2 weeks ago, though, that don't get your hopes up that this is going to end anytime soon. I just want some kind of closure on it. And I think Denver's trying. We keep hearing that there's potential that they might be able to sign and trade him. Well, we all know the only way they can sign and trade him is if they can move off at least one contract. So we'll see. It's frustrating, no question about it. But they're still stuck. And it still continues to be this kind of, they still got Joker, but I'm not so sure that he's going to be great this year. Joker will be great, but the Nuggets, are they going to be great? Are they still in that window? And listen, DeMar DeRozan's name's still out there. If he's willing to play on the vet minimum, would getting DeMar DeRozan make up for potentially losing Peyton Watson in the offseason? Kind of. But I'm telling you, man, I'm going to be rooting harder for Christian Brown than I've ever rooted, because this is getting to the point where, okay, he's a little pissy about the contract. I get it. But at the time, if you had to pick which guy you're going to give the contract to, you can go back and listen to the tape. Podcasts are available at
1310kfka.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
That read brought to you by On the Rocks Liquor. You can go back and listen to the tape. When they signed Christian Brown, I said, okay, they had to make a choice between the two. I'm good with it. Now, the worst case scenario is that Brown doesn't play very well, doesn't live up to the contract, and then Peyton Watson goes crazy. And that was kind of in that situation. And that kind of was. That's kind of what happened. And Watson, this is why, when you ask, like, why do you pay guys early? Why do you give guys, why did the Broncos sign Sean Payton to a 5-year contract extension? You as a team want to show your guy right now before they win big that we believe in you. We were there from the get-go. We want to get that done now, because maybe that player and or coach looks at that after they got big and say, wait a second, you weren't like really willing to play ball with me, man. You didn't have that loyal to me when things were still moving up. So I'm going to test the waters. So that's why you give a guy a contract early. And they decided that it was Christian Brown that they're going to reward and not Peyton Watson. And if you just look at the numbers and you look at who meant the most to this team when they won a championship, their first ever, it was Christian Brown. So I don't have an issue with them picking Christian Brown. It's just one of those weird seasons where he got hurt, Watson took over when a lot of guys got hurt, and then got hurt again, and then he got hurt. And it was just a messy season, man. It was messy. And I'm not so sure that they can repair this relationship with Watson. I don't know that it's like really volatile at this point, but Watson's side is definitely frustrated with the Nuggets, and certainly now who wasn't it? Because Watson's agent is the same agent as LeBron James' agent. And when they, remember when they were making that, his agent's making that board, and he's on a podcast. It was Max whatever on the podcast, and they got all the teams of interest for LeBron James, and one of those was the Nuggets. And listed on there were Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, and I believe Christian Brown. Peyton Watson wasn't listed on there. As Peyton Watson's agent, you would think it'd be odd that he wouldn't say, hey, here's another good reason to go. Peyton Watson's our guy. Did they already kind of think, hey, he's not going to be on this roster. He's not going to be a part of their long-term plan either way. And if LeBron signs a two-year deal with the Nuggets, at the very least, he's going to play 1 year on a contract year, and he's going to be out the door. So the further this goes, the more I think it's just, I'm over it. I think it's time to put the full court press on a sign and trade, which would mean they'd have to clear some space. Do what you got to do, offices of Ted Zern Wallace, because I think Nuggets fans are ready to be done with this. Yes, Michael.
Can they change Jokic? Keep in mind, I'm not saying Jokic bad, but can they change Jokic's contract?
No.
For like this year, and then maybe when they re-sign him.
Mm-mm.
Like, give him more money.
They've already signed a contract, so he could say, like, hey, I'm reworking my contract for the year. It's already against the books. Not that would, because he's going to be a free agent next year anyway. But that wouldn't impact anything.
No, they're going to have to cut somebody.
Right now?
The Nuggets, if they want to do the sign and trade.
It's not as easy as that. They have to actually trade that guy. The kids, they're going to still be, that Zeke Nagy money is still counting against their salary cap. If they cut him today, that's still going to count against the salary cap. So now you just have now you just don't have a player.
Do the Nuggets have anyone who's trade fodder?
Not really. I mean, Daron Holmes has a team option for 27 and 28. Team option for 26 and 27 and 27 and 28. To my knowledge, they have not tried to move off of him. I don't know that there's any interest there. Am I giving a guy $3.3 million that hasn't done anything in the league? Tim Hardaway Jr. was doing it for $4 million, and he's still done a lot in the league. So I'm not making any kind of... I mean, you have to basically talk to the team that you're going to be doing the sign-and-trade with. And you're going to say, hey, the only way I can do this is you've got to take this guy. And that would be a Daron Holmes or a Zeke Nagy. Now, Zeke Nagy would be the easiest and the best because he's at 7.4. And the guy, like, it doesn't end there, folks. Zeke has a player option next year. This year he's under contract. Next year he has a player option. So, I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with this whole thing. Let's see, texter here coming in on the First Advantage text line. John Fort Double Dribble. Brady, the guy was born in Beverly Hills, California, has 2 feet out the door already. Yeah. Now, I think that it's just becoming more obvious every single day.
So basically, you play with them or talk to the Jazz and hope they make another bad decision.
What do you mean?
Well, like...
The
Jazz? If he signs, like...
He's not going to the Jazz.
If he signs a contract with the Nuggets. Like,
yeah, it'd be half
he's gonna
what
have
he
to
wants.
Play for very little.
It'd be half of what he thinks he's worth. If he takes the Nuggets did reportedly offer a five year, $14 million a year, something like that. It's $14 million a year.
I'll play for $14 million.
Well,
a
you
year.
Suck. Nobody's gonna pay for. I hate that. No, nobody's gonna pay you. We had an old radio host at this station years ago. He dressed like an old rock star, and. He would always say, this guy wanted $50 million. I'd do it for $10. It's like no one would pay you $3. No one would pay $3 to watch you play. If we're not professional
athletes. I think
they
would pay $20 to watch me fall down on the court.
No, I would not pay $20 to watch you in an NBA game. I want to watch the best athletes. I always hate that. You know, random person, random Joe Schmo like us. Well, I'd do it for $10 million. No, you wouldn't because you wouldn't get $10 million.
I would. But I don't think the Nuggets are making that stupid of a mistake.
I always get frustrated, too, with the they get paid way too much thing. It's like, then what would you suggest? The billionaires just keep all their money and not give it to anybody and not pay players? Because the billionaires are making a lot more than the players are. So the idea of, man, this guy wants $30 million. This is ridiculous. They want too much. They're getting greedy. Well, then if he doesn't get 30, then $15 million of that just stays with the Kroenkes and they go buy a yacht. Brady, it's their money. Okay, well, then pay what the market tells you to pay. If you don't like rich people making money, then you should like the idea of millionaires making more money as opposed to billionaires making more money. Whatever.
I'm a fan of everybody.
I'm a fan of everybody making money.
There you go.
I'm a fan.
Generate
of
more money.
Owners pay good players so more people watch you and you get on big games and more people go to your games and then owners get more money, players happy, owner happy. That's what I'm in for.
It's just sometimes it's kind of hard to do that in some sports.
Well,
Cleveland,
for Peyton,
there's no excuse they should suck every year.
For Peyton Watson, the market is not telling us that he's worth $30 million. The market is not telling us that he's worth $25 million. The market's telling us he's probably $20-22 million. Okay, so the Nuggets went under that. Watson has a reason to go, are you kidding me? $14 million? The market is showing that I'm 20.
Yeah, but then the Nuggets have some insider information that maybe he's not playing as hard as he should.
If they believe that he didn't play in that series against Minnesota because he was preserving his body for the next year, for his contract year, and he's not that good yet, then I don't believe he's worth the time. I think it's time to move on. And it sounds like they're trying, but they have to offload some money.
Well, I certainly hope that everybody in the Nuggets is going to be good because right now they're in financial problem and they have Jokic and other people.
Well, and there's uncertainty about Jokic. We've heard him say it twice in the last year that I will retire a Nugget, and for me that's enough today. But there are still enough sky is falling people out there that are like, the further this goes, I mean, Keeler's writing the story. Keeler's going to join us the next hour. He's writing that Joker, no more Mr. Nice Guy. Joker needs to put his foot down, start, you know, playing hardball. And if they don't respond, then he gets out of here. I'm a sports fan. I'm a Colorado sports fan. I don't want the best players to leave. Can I be pissed at Kroenke? Sure. But I don't want Joker to leave the Nuggets. I don't want him to retire early, go play for the Lakers, go play for Greece. That's not a real thing. Anyway, that's my 2 cents on that. Hey, I got a weird story for you, Mike. You won't know this. I don't know this. Do you know, listeners, have you heard this name? A country singer, Ashley McBride.
She related to Martina McBride?
She was on a podcast called Poor Decisions. She was asked the place that had the worst fans where she played a concert. Guess what she said?
Better not be the Stampede.
Greeley, Colorado. And it was not at the Greeley Stampede, thank goodness, because we love the Stampede. She performed a sit-down concert at Greeley's Union Colony Civic Center on October 4th, 2024. She said it was the crowd didn't really know how to respond.
Maybe her music sucks.
She said it was like a really weird, maybe they don't go to music here. It was a really strange time. She said, I was trying to remember when I did feel the worst on stage, and it was Greeley, Colorado. And it's any time you're with a seated crowd, that's a death sentence for whoever's on stage. And I don't know if it feels similar in comedy, but when you're going, I'm saying really funny stuff. And they're like, that's nice. That's tough. That's tough to take. So Greeley, come on. Is that real? Who went to this concert? What is it, Ashley McBride?
Apparently she's popular. Her number one song has 87
what is
million
the song?
Listens on Spotify.
What is the song?
One Night Standards.
Is it good?
No. Well, I don't like country, so.
What is this, a Good Morning NoCo smash or trash or repair kind of thing? No, I could see why the crowd didn't want to listen to that crap. No, that's not good. No, you're in the clear, Greeley, Colorado, because I wouldn't have clapped for that either. 30 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. I just thought that was a wild story that popped up. Nine News did a piece on it today, but I don't think I would have been a good audience member for this as well. Why don't you pull a Wyoming and play some Slipknot? That's what we need, Mike. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your road to Friday Night Preps football starts at 5 p.m. tonight, live on KFKA. Training camp coverage of the Resurrection Christian Cougars is brought to you by Clearwater Products.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Two outs, runner at second. Here's the 3-2. He's got him. And the Rockies hang on and win 3-2. A comfort behind 3-2 victory.
There we go, Rocks. Get it done. And everybody loves Romano. Gets it done. For, I'll tell you, man, I thought, okay, so the game is 2-0. I think, what, through five innings? Kyle Karros hits a two-run homer at the top of the sixth, and the Rockies tie the game. They get another run. Hunter Goodman scores in the seventh after hitting a triple. They finally drive him in, and the Rockies go up 3-2. He's kind of had the feel of a game that might get out of their way. Sugano was really good, but and I'm worried about Hurgit, and Bernardino comes in, and then Romanos comes in, and I'm thinking the Diamondbacks are going to walk this off, aren't they? They're going to probably load the bases up, and then this is going to be one of those really infuriating losses that Spencer Smith of DNVR Rockies has, that he talks about. But no, leave it to closer Jordan Romano. Everybody now loves Jordan Romano. And yes, you know where I'm going with this, Mike. No? You just not know where I'm going with this? Okay. It's good. You had a hard time finding that one.
I found one that
it's like the most popular
Ray
sitcom.
Romano going, oh, Ray Romano,
it's the most popular sitcom in the world, and everybody loves Jordan Romano. Closes it down for the Rockies. Got it done, man. What kind of crazy antics is he going to be up to the rest of the day, I wonder? I don't know. That's a great show, though.
Fighting with his significant other.
Probably, and it's great.
Oh,
this is real.
Why is she mad at me again?
Don't make fun of Everybody Loves Raymond. Don't make fun of it. It's a great show. It's an amazing show.
I'll admit this. It is an all right show.
It's an amazing show. I could watch that all the time. It's now on like the old school, like the oldies TV shows thing, which makes me kind of depressed, but that's a good one. Yeah, thank you, Faith. Good one, Brady.
90s isn't like oldies. If you're going to go with the old stuff, it has to be 70s and before that.
Everybody Loves Raymond is just one of those easygoing sitcoms I could watch anytime.
And it's very brainless, not very thoughtful.
It's very smart, very cutting-edge TV. I'm sorry, not everybody can like the idea of stupid Seinfeld. Hooligans, poll question. Everybody Loves Raymond or Seinfeld?
Leave Micah and Brady out of it. Just flat out,
Why would they? Well, obviously leave you out of it. No one's letting you influence their TV watching decisions. You watch Planet of the Dungeons and stuff like that. Nobody likes it.
You know what? Planet of the Apes was a good movie.
Faith says, if that's on, I'm always stopping to watch it. Yes. If I'm scrolling through TV and I see Everybody Loves Raymond's on, I click it and I watch it and I crack up laughing. I'm dying of laughter every time because it's just so good.
I'm not calling you a simpleton, but it's very simple comedy.
It's just so good. Seinfeld is just, hey, we're a bunch of 30-year-olds that have no wives or husbands and we live in New York and he's a comedian, but yet he lives in an apartment the size of this building.
That apartment back then would probably cost like $3,000.
In New York?
In New York, yeah. You want something that's $1,000, it's smaller than this room.
That thing would have been more than $3,000. You should Google that. See, what would Jerry Seinfeld's apartment be worth when he was living in it? Because that's a huge apartment. That's big.
But he would, just remember, he was kind of a
Faith
struggling
wins.
Comedian.
Obviously, he's not funny. Faith said, never liked Seinfeld. Boom. 1-0 Brady.
Let's see. Oh, that Miles McClarity read is gone. Darn it.
1-0 Brady. Because Everybody Loves Raymond's good. People can connect to it. Nobody can relate to a bunch of 30-year-olds that are just like, oh, no, the favorite sandwich shop closed down, and that's today's episode.
Maybe the sandwich shop closed down, but there would be something ridiculous that those narcissistic characters would do.
And it's not realistic. It's just dumb. Everybody Loves Raymond's realistic. You all know.
Sure. For the simpleton.
Speaking from single man, no children, you can't connect with Everybody Loves Raymond. There are plenty of people. You either have in-laws like this or you know someone who has in-laws like that. You can connect. Nobody knows what being a 30-year-old is, and your biggest complaint is they closed down the Richie's Subway shop down the street, and now where are we going to go? Yeah, Faith says, leave Miles out of it, Micah. Yeah, let's go.
I was joking, Faith.
Let's go, Faith.
We all love Miles.
No, wait, well, we do, but you, on the other hand.
And he's going to score 7 points for UNC.
Seinfeld's just a terrible show. Just an awful show. And anybody that likes that, you should probably, read a book. Take
so
a time
everybody
out.
Else here?
Tanner hates it. Derbst. I don't think Derbst hates it.
Likes.
Tanner hates it because he's seen it and it's awful. Why do you have to go there? You're going there because you can't actually come up with a real argument. He doesn't like it because you don't like it. That's not a real argument, buddy. You lose again. This is why you're never a co-host. You lose again. Give me a real reason.
Because you determine. You're like, that's it. I don't like your comedy, so you lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I have no problem with Everybody Loves Raymond.
I have a problem with Seinfeld.
It,
it's awful.
Which is good. It's just, it's a little bland.
No, it's very good. Faith says, everyone has a family like that that you know of. Everyone does. Like everybody.
Has
nobody can
else
relate
responded to the poll
to Seinfeld. Yeah, everyone's saying Everybody Loves Raymond. It's obvious. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I mean, come on, guys. If Michael likes it, right? I mean, come on. It's not a good show. It's not good.
It's a good show. No. Look, why don't I watch every episode of Everybody Loves Raymond? I'll go around making quotes.
I'm jealous
just
of you.
Everybody Loves Raymond. I made a joke about Seinfeld the other day. Someone I don't know was like, oh, yeah, that's hilarious. See, that's
was
what
it like
is.
The
Seinfeld
homeless guy outside the building?
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay,
is,
come on. Seinfeld is not
vanilla.
Genius. Eastside Chris, Raymond and his mother had stints on King of Queens. Excellent. Yeah, there was a crossover with King of Queens, another great sitcom.
There was, because the dad of George was on
that
there.
Carried over. King of Queens, spun off of Everybody Loves Raymond. We got two amazing sitcoms because of Everyone Loves Raymond. Tanner says, Micah saying something is funny is the definition of it not being funny. That checks out. Faith says, Elaine was annoying. I thought they were all annoying. Kramer walking it. Is it Kramer? Who's the spiky-haired guy with Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah, that was Kramer.
Like, annoying. Fat guy, bald dude, annoying. Jerry Seinfeld. How was he in anything?
Because he wrote it.
Oh, he wrote? I thought Larry David wrote it.
It was him and Larry David. I think Larry David did a little more than
like
he
Larry
did.
Like, Larry David
is funny.
The
George character is based
what's
off
the,
of Larry
what's
David.
The show based off of Larry David, the other one? Like, what's his show that he had on HBO? Is it Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I don't know, but he's got a new one now.
Is it that looks dumb. Is it Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, there you go.
That was a pretty good show. A little too much, like, everything bad is going to happen all the time. But there were some really funny episodes of that. That was good. But Seinfeld, no, not so much. 42 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break. Rocks get the dub. They play today. What time do they play? 1:30? Is it 1:30 today? I know we're breaking at 1, so 1:40. So we'll get to that. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Broncos owner and CEO Greg Penner was speaking to media members yesterday, and he said, hey, we are a long way from getting this new stadium deal done anytime soon. The idea is that they have a new stadium at Burnham Yard by 2031. He said it's not going to be easy, but they did on Monday close on a $55 million acquisition of SRM Concrete near Burnham Yard. So obviously the plans are in motion. He did speak about the PSL thing, the personal seat license deal, and that's not official yet. And I know a lot of basically you have to pay for the right to pay for your season tickets, and it would be a one-time thing. But you would have to, let's just say, you have to pay $1,000 just to keep renewing your season tickets. I don't know what that cost would be. Probably the better seat you have, the more expensive it is. But here's Greg Penner talking about that and just where they are at this process with the new stadium.
Really, it's the furthest thing from our minds right now. We're so focused on, we've got so many steps before that. As I just mentioned, I mean, it's still a preferred site, but it's not finalized that we're going to be in that location. Obviously, that's where we really want to be. So really, we haven't even gotten to PSLs yet. Our season ticket holders are vital to our organization, and we're going to keep them informed every step of the way once we get there.
Now, Rob Walton's worth like 80, am I right? 80 billion? A lot of billions to make this new stadium. What did we see? Like, would it be 4 billion or something like that, Michael?
It says he's worth $128 billion to $136 billion. And I did look up the season tickets as well. That goes from $900 for the cheapest seats to $3,350 for the most expensive seats.
So here comes the question then. Like, they're not going to tax people for this. They're going to build this. But they are asking in return, like, hey, we're going to spend money on this. We're going to build this stadium. But we might be considering this PSL thing where you're going to pay for the right to pay for your tickets, essentially. And a lot of Broncos fans, especially season ticket holders, mainly season ticket holders, have a major issue with this. Now, those that have an issue say, dude, you're worth that many billions of dollars. Can't you just do the whole thing? Well, I had some texter last week that said billionaires don't get to be billionaires by doing that kind of thing. That's not how they operate. And if they bend here, then that would mean they'd bend in other areas, and that's not how you become mega super duper 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 rich.
And plus, I don't know exactly how much. He doesn't have $128 billion in the bank.
Right.
Some of that's tied up in stocks and commodities and land.
Right. And again, it would be a one-time fee, and that doesn't matter to a lot, because if it's like $20,000 to pay for my right to continue, not right, I hate saying that, for my season tickets, well, I guess I just look at it and say, billionaires don't become billionaires by doing this kind of deal. They're going to pay for it. They're not taxing people, but they're going to hit the diehards maybe where it hurts and make them pay a little bit to help with this. That's the way I look at it. I'm curious to see what season ticket holders think.
If I want to be a season ticket holder and I put myself on the list, do I have to pay for that, or do I have to pay for that when I get the season tickets?
Once you're approved, and I think once you're approved to be a season ticket holder, I think like even now, if you're approved right now, if you own the tickets, they're yours, you would still have to pay something for them. You would have to pay for that right to keep them. I believe so. So that's why it's got a lot of people pissed off, because it's like, wait, we've had this for years. 11:51 the time. We will wrap up hour number one. Coming up next, we've got top stories of the day. Sean Keeler going to join us. Also, a quarterback competition can be bad and it can be great. I'm going to give you an example of why there's a situation in this state where it's great. Keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
Your road to Friday Night Preps football starts at 5 p.m. tonight, live on KFKA. Training camp coverage of the Resurrection Christian Cougars is brought to you by Clearwater Products.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back to the show, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We use Aloe Fiber here at KFKA and could not be happier with our situation. So if you're in the area and you're looking to make a change, check out Aloe Fiber. Coming up in the next hour, top stories of the day, news with the Los Angeles Lakers. Also, try to do a good thing and repair something and you make it 10 times worse. Stephanie White, the coach of the Indiana Fever. Mike, you and I might disagree on Everybody Loves Raymond and Seinfeld. I think I found our one thing that we really agree on. The WNBA is just garbage.
We agree on a lot of things, but yeah, the WNBA is shooting itself in the foot once again.
Awful. Awful. So we'll get to that coming up. Top stories of the day are next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.